Live from the Hollywood studios in...
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of...
What's that from?
This is one of my favorite segments. By the way, I have to give credit where credit is due. This is actually a segment that was created by Senator Dan Katowski. He has, in the past, messaged me and go, I can't believe you're playing with these guys. So Senator Dan Katowski created What's That From?
Come on now.
It was, he doesn't get to come on as often as he used to. And he used to, you know, when he was a legislator, he had a little more
free time.
He's working for a living as a president and CEO of ChildServe, helping children reach their potential. So this was a segment he created, and I just thought I would make sure people knew that. This is where we take some of the best scenes in movie history and make sure that you never remember them the right way again. 312-981-7200. When you know what that's from, you can call us, 312-981-7200, and you might win a gift card from Apt Electronics. They've been pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Then make sure you say hi to Steve Shapiro if you do stop out there. I gotta stop. I still have a deep tube television. I have a 32-inch deep tube television from 2001.
Does it work?
Yeah. There's a little corner that like the color's starting to go, but
it's just
watch around it. Ask Elliot. Elliot's watched several movies at my. Is it weird?
No, it's funny. It's like it's oddly comforting.
Is it?
Because you know you grow up watching television like that. You know,
and it's I remind you of your grandparents' house. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my house. I mean, I recently threw out the TV like that too. I had one of those, like a 32-inch.
No one will pick them up.
Yeah,
no.
They won't. You can put them out.
Right, I even buy your house.
It was funny. I even had I put the TV out front, and these kids came by, and I go, "Hey guys, free TV." They looked at me like I was trying to give them a carcass or something.
It was dead.
You were giving them a carcass.
You got to see the wiring. To wire a TV from 2001 to DirecTV to a DVD player to Roku. I worked at that Radio Shack at Milwaukee and Foster, Tim.
Did you really?
So I do have all the stuff. Elliot, you've seen the wiring.
Yeah.
How do you even hook up a Roku to that thing?
You have to get an adapter. You can do it through the audio visual.
There are adapters. Yeah,
there
are adapters. And just make sure your fire insurance is paid up.
Scott, remember the old Atari, the little thing that you plugged in the back was TV or VA,
right,
you know,
for
your same concept.
Because you can go to inputs, right? So you have three or four different inputs.
Right.
So you can put it anyway. I just got into the weeds on how to hook up a Roku. Anyway.
And you're brought to us by Apt. That's what's cracking me up here.
We just lost about 12 states. So we lost Canada earlier. Now we lost about 12 states.
Steve Shapiro gives me grief. He'll text me. He's like, would you please buy a new television? So he's always trying to encourage me to do that. It's a long story. Anyway, 312-981-7200. When you know what movie we are reading this scene from, it's one of my favorites. Not that that's a hint. All right, Roger, take it away, sir.
Warning, I've got a lot of narration on this thing.
I know.
Okay, thank you.
You're
Interior
welcome.
Recording booth night, where Aaron is writing his last line on a folded over piece of paper. Even as he gets ready to record, he times it with a stopwatch.
Norman Rockwell's enduring portrait of a homecoming. The return of a fighting man that has always been one of the more moving ceremonies of war. Tearful women, proud men, excited children. But J.D. Singer was right. His homecoming was no big deal.
Interior editing room night.
We have a minute and a half. It's my responsibility to tell you we won't be ready.
Uh-oh. We'll be ready.
Blair glances frantically at her watch.
In 84 seconds?
On clock, sweeping from 28 seconds to 84 seconds from deadline, Aaron walks in. Jane looks up.
9 seconds.
11 and a half.
Oh, God. Back it, Bobby. Bobby?
Almost simultaneously, dialogue follows. It builds until it duplicates the sound of loud and bawdy sax.
You're saying, oh, God, they're going to go back up to the screen. It'll be black. They're going to go to black because we're not there. How about careers, huh? How about careers?
On clock, 42 seconds away.
We're not going to make it.
Bobby makes a small bobble. Jane, giving the merest evidence of the strain, scratching her face repeatedly.
Whoops! 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 No, please, no! Oh, oh, ah, oh!
Crap, crap, crap.
You're almost there. You can do it. You can do.
And as the pitch reaches its zenith, 27 seconds left, Bobby hands the tape to Blair.
Ready.
Interior newsroom night. Blair hikes up her skirt and takes off. Various shots are chased, seen as Blair soars through the newsroom, leaping a chair smoothly, smashing her leg against a table in full flight, the adrenaline deadening the pain. She arrives at a waiting elevator, uses a key dangling from her neck to unlock it, and jumps nervously during the ride, and now, in full extended flight, barrels down the long corridor, heading to the control room, where she arrives, slamming the tape into a technician's hand, even as it is introduced on the air. Interior newsroom night, Aaron, Jane, and the others looking at the end of the piece on the air. Tom in the background as Blair enters, relaxed, almost jaunty.
I was a little nervous there for a minute.
Oh, come on. Tell us another.
On monitor, the end of the piece, the Rockwell painting giving way to the mercenary's actual homecoming, which matches the portrait. The irony works nicely. The network anchorman comes up for his close. Bill Rorich, 50 years old and able to flutter much younger pulses. He is able and experienced. A reporter has become a journalistic king.
I lost my...
Bill Rorich, thank you. Good night.
Yeah, I might have forgotten to give that to somebody.
There we go.
Look at that smile. Oh, that was good. Oh, my. Bill smiled. He liked it.
He loved it. Big smile.
He gives Jane a congratulatory sock in the shoulder, which she returns. Tom in the background of the shot.
I haven't seen Bill smile like that in weeks.
Ernie has walked a few steps to the office.
Ernie, you missed this close. It was... Thank you. Good night.
She smiles.
I saw the smile. Good piece.
I'm going to go look at it again.
They leave, Aaron waving to Tom, who stands in the background. The others leave. Tom approaches Jane.
I'm sorry if I was in the way. It was totally impressive. Great piece.
You were. Thanks. How does it feel being here?
I can't believe I'm really here. No, Kitty, if you're through work now...
No, Aaron. Aaron and I go to Central America on Wednesday, so I'm cramming.
I thought you were incredible in there. I know how much I have to learn. I'd really a lot appreciate it if...
Really a lot appreciate it?
You make me nervous. If I can pick your brain...
I can't help you. Sorry. I'm not here to teach remedial reporting.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that I left your room instead of staying there.
Oh, please. You're going to have to understand something. This isn't personal. I'm sorry, Ken. I thought the Bobby was in there. I must have missed that page.
No.
Bobby.
It was in there.
I missed it?
It was only two Bobbies.
Bobby. That was the part that I should have just put it in there myself.
We should attach a quiz this time, a quiz off the movie. Last week I went rogue and I had one from out of left field. There is one character... who appeared in our play tonight, who was not credited, who was in the movie, of course,
in the scene.
He was not credited at all in the film.
And he was in the scene.
He was in the scene.
And I forgot to give somebody that part.
No. Nope.
So, yeah, I did.
Yes.
I forgot to,
yes,
I didn't give anybody
don't go
that
any
part.
Further. Pick up someone will figure it out. But in actuality, you could have stared at those credits and watched them 100 times. You would never have seen the name of this actor.
Maybe Paula knows both. Paula, what movie was that from? What's that from?
That was Jack Nicholson in Broadcast News.
Hey!
And she is correct, Domingo.
I have to say, this is one of the most wonderfully written scripts. If you ever get a chance to read the script and see I love the way you see each kid, right? So you see the young Holly Hunter, the young William Hurt, and the young Albert Brooks. Did you like that part, Paula, where you kind of, then we see them as adults and they're exactly who they were as kids?
That was interesting. I think more movies, well, you can't do that in every movie, obviously, but everybody has a past.
Everybody has a past. It's one of my favorites. I'm so glad you got that. You were the first caller right out of the gate, Paula. What line gave it away for you?
Well, when they started talking at first, I was thinking, this Front Page, but no, there's no clock running in Front Page. So then I took another listen, and of course, when she's running and hits her foot, that's yep. obvious.
Yeah, she almost killed herself.
Joan Cusack in one of the great physically funny scenes in movie history.
Remember how she ducked under the file drawer when it opened? Woo! She went right under and kept on going.
So good. All right, Paula, you've won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Thank you so much for playing. What's that from? Have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you.
I do too. Hold on.
And if you want to give something else away, I have something, a quiz that's totally not connected to the movie, but it's in line with our political focus on Freaky Friday?
All right, I can. I think I can. I can spare. I think I have one more apt card to give away this week. So is it? Does it rise to the level of an apt card?
Yeah, I think so.
All right then.
Okay. Which?
Hold on. Let me see before we leave broadcast news behind. I want to check in with our listeners who tried calling in to answer because sometimes people just want to talk about the movie. Hey, Gina, how are you doing?
Oh, just fine. I love that movie. There are so many things to love about that movie. To this day, I will sit there and, oh my God, I can't remember where it happens in the movie, but he's talking about, or they're describing the new guy who comes in and how basically he's Satan.
Oh, right. Right. I agree. You know, I saw the movie when I was little, and there's something I didn't understand a lot of it. It seemed quick, and it was interesting, and there was a sort of romance that I didn't quite get. I didn't understand what neurotic meant yet. the scene where Albert Brooks is sweating, just goes into a complete flop sweat.
Gosh,
one of the great lines where in the control room, they say, he's sweating like Nixon.
Yeah. And to this day, yes, go ahead.
The water just pouring.
Yes.
You could tell there were obviously little hoses there, but it was just hysterically bad.
Yes.
The fact that he could keep doing that and not lose it. Yeah. I don't know how he did that.
It was really, really, really funny. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
I have to watch that movie again now. Yeah. Gina, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for calling.
You too.
Thank you. Just want to see what Billy wanted to say. Hey, Billy, how are you doing?
Okay, how you doing tonight? That movie was funny, and then and anything with Holly Hunter early on. Do you remember Raising Arizona?
Oh yeah, that's one of my husband's favorites.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so quirky in that movie. Her and Nicolas Cage. In that she's funny and just a good actress in anything she does.
Oh, I have to agree. She's every time she shows up on screen.
Time we're driving, when we have to take a right turn, I'd say to Janine, turn to the right.
Turn to the right. That's right.
Wasn't she in The Firm? You remember the movie The Firm with Tom Cruise? Wasn't she Tom Cruise's brother's girlfriend? Or the
I remember her doing like investigative stuff or something. Like,
yeah. And what's his name? Gary Busey. She worked for him, and then I guess at the end, she did all the photocopying and stuff like that. And she's a lot to me. She reminds me of like Al Pacino, where he can play so many different parts and just no matter what movie you put him in. And same thing with Holly Hunter. She just shines.
Well, even like
a great actress
in Superman versus Batman, Elliot. When she plays the senator.
The senator.
Yeah.
And talks about peach tea, which we know is not peach tea.
No, it's gross. But she's great in that role as well. Just that's such a great call. Thank you so much for joining us, Billy. Have a great weekend, okay?
You too, now.
Thank you. So I guess Ken has a bonus quiz. And what is this related to?
Presidents of the United States.
it was President's Week, it was President's Day this week, so
what
makes sense.
What is the one president that doesn't show up when he looks in a mirror? Because he's a vampire.
Wait, wasn't there a vampire slayer president as
Yes, everyone knows that was Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, yes. 312-981-7200 when you know the answer to Ken's
Calvin
quiz.
Coolidge.
So the question is, and I could give hints at certain points, which United States president fathered the most children? Now, I don't mean married into a family and a second marriage and took in 10 kids.
Mike Brady.
Fathered the most children. And I will give you a hint, one hint. One of them is still alive. His grandson is still alive today.
312 Scott's apoplectic right now because he can't answer the question. 312-981-7200. Which president fathered the most children? Not by marriage, not a Brady Bunch situation. 312-981-7200. Which president fathered the most children to win an Apt Electronics gift card? We have to take a break here. There'll be hints if no one calls with the right answer when we come back on 720 WGN. I guess we can start by your telling me something good and answering Ken's trivia question for President's Day this week. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, winding down until... Is Matt Bubala in tonight? Matt Bubala will be taking over in just a little bit. Ken, restate your question for our listeners who are on hold. What was your question? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Which president fathered the most children? And the hint I gave was one of his grandsons is still alive today.
Barbara, what's your answer?
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Interesting.
No.
How many kids did he have? Anybody know?
Roosevelt? No, I don't know.
I want to say
You had a few.
Now we're just guessing at stuff. Let me. Yeah. Sorry, Barbara. Let's see what Michelle has to say. Barbara, what's your answer?
Thomas Jefferson.
No, it's a good guess.
He only fathered one child, and she died very young.
Well, we think he fathered only one child.
Well, okay, yes, I'm sorry.
Sally Hemings' folks would have a different take on that.
True that.
How about you, Mark? What's your answer?
My guess is Teddy Roosevelt.
Ooh, Teddy Roosevelt. Is it Teddy Roosevelt?
Nope, these are all good guesses.
Teddy Roosevelt had five kids by two women. He had Alice by his first wife, who passed away, and then four by his second.
Everybody wants the Roosevelts to have gotten it on.
Well, especially Franklin was a business
boy. It's the grandson that's thrown him. They're going through the 19th.
Oh, I see. Who would still be alive? Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Gina, what's your answer?
John Tyler.
A winner! And it's the grandson thing. The grandson thing is so incredible.
Sorry, I had to find a sound effect. Go ahead.
That the grandson is still alive. I mean, John Tyler was president from 1841 to 1845, and his grandson is still alive. He had 15 kids.
Wow.
By two different women, eight by one, and then at the age of 54, he remarried. He died at 71, but in those 17 years, he was productive. He had seven more kids.
That's pretty much what killed him. You know.
That's a sitcom.
Gina, was that something you knew or did you Google? You can be honest with us. We don't mind.
That was when we got into an argument at work about, and so I had to look it up.
Where do you work that you're arguing about who fathered the most children as a president?
I work at a company that prints hardback and softback books.
Oh, okay.
And I do quality control. And one came, it was something about, you know, everything you ever wanted to know about the presidents, blah, blah, blah. And someone flipped to something and it became an argument. But it wasn't in the book, so someone had to look it up. And it was me.
There you go. That's good. Good happenstance. So you have won a gift card. Yes, gift card from Apt Electronics. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Have a great weekend. Hold on the line, Gina, so that Michael can get your information and send off that gift card.
Yay. Thank you.
What Michael ought to do is try to line up the grandson that's still alive and get him on the show. He's 90. See if we get him as a guest. That would be the most fascinating. Unbelievable.
That would be interesting.
I mean, his grandfather was president before the Civil War.
Wow.
Oh, 20-plus years before the Civil War.
Yeah.
20 years before the Civil War.
He died in 1862. I mean, it's extraordinary. I don't know. It's amazing.
I like that Ken comes in and is like, I got another piece of trivia to tell you. And it's always going to be John Tyler.
I think I said that's right.
Who was the catcher? Who was the catcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1943?
John Tyler.
He also won a Grammy, in case you're wondering.
Who was the goalie for the Canadian World Cup team in 1972 against the Russians?
John Tyler.
There we go. So tell me something good, everybody. I'm heading to Michigan. I'm kind of excited. I'm going to be performing.
Who invented the state of Michigan? John Tyler.
He invented it. I'm going to be performing for an optimists club tomorrow night. That's going to be my first.
How exciting.
I know. That's the best thing ever.
And John Tyler was a member, if I recall.
Patty, they're going to be so great. Hi, Patty. Wow. This is great.
You know, I'm neither an optimist. What do you call it? So you know when people say if a glass is half empty or half full, right? So if you're an optimist or
a pessimist.
Right? So it's a half full and you're an optimist. Half empty or pessimist. What is it when you're like, ooh, a glass of water, I was thirsty.
That's good.
Right?
You're minus an optimist.
You're minus. That's when the glass is cracked and it falls on the ground and I step on it and cut my foot.
It's not good.
No. I was once at a political event.
It's a fatalist.
I was once at a political event at a private home and the candidate for president was in the room and he took a sip of water that the host gave him and he looked at the crowd and he went, ooh, great water.
That's overselling it.
That was Ted Kennedy, by the way.
Was it Ted Kennedy?
1979.
Yeah, it was,
he was on autopilot, man. I remember I was looking at him. I was working on his campaign, and he kind of gave me a look like, I think I need a rest.
Well, we can top that here in the great state of Illinois when the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, took a sip from chocolate milk and said, diversity.
Oh, boy.
That's a true story. This is not a joke. Yeah.
This week.
What was the context for that, Eric? Wasn't there a speaker saying, here's chocolate, here's milk, here's how we go dwell together.
It was a guy from corporate affairs with Hyatt on their diversity standards or something, and he took the glass, empty glass, and said, you know, this is corporate America. He filled it up with regular, you know, vitamin D or white milk, and, you know, said, this is the...